16 minutes past 8 o'clock. We're hearing this afternoon that the legal wranglings around the Strandfontein temporary settlement or site to look after homeless people during this lockdown period has reached another stalemate within court. This is, we are hearing the City of Cape Town apparently trying to prevent monitors and inspectors from the Human Rights Commission to go to that site and to see what is happening there. Reverend Chris Nissen of the South African Human Rights Commission joins us now. Reverend, thanks so much. What is currently happening in court? I understand that you statements or admissions made in court this afternoon.
Yes. Good evening, Weston. Good evening to all the listeners of Cape Talk. And our sympathy goes with all those who are craving for those things they can't get. But hopefully it will be over soon. We just all have to hang in there because we all have to. We're all in the fight against the virus. And so we all have to stay home, stay healthy, and make sure that we contribute to it not spreading anymore. Of course, you know, the City of Cape Town decided to take the start of the human rights to court. In an unprecedented move that's happening in this country. But as the Human Rights Commission, we say, well, you know, we are there to support democracy. That's why the Chapter 9 is there, to support democracy. And so we say, let's test what they ever say or they accuse the Human Rights Commission about. Let's test in court. However, so what we said is they apply today. Obviously, the commission must now respond. We have until tomorrow to also to apply, but we believe that this may even not happen tomorrow, but will happen on Thursday next week.
What is the basis of the city's argument to not allow the Human Rights Commission to that site?
The city is arguing that, you know, that the Human Rights Commission Section 11 committee that is supposed to constitute a committee or a body of persons that will advise the commission on certain issues and certain situations, and that the commission can, in fact, impart part of its mandate to that members of that committee, and that members of the committee then can act on behalf of the commission. This has been going on for years within the commission. And so the monitors that we've appointed throughout the country, more than 400, are helping with the monitoring mandate of the commission. Remember, the commission has got a protective mandate, which is an investigative mandate. It's got a promotion mandate. It's got a monitoring mandate. And that monitoring mandate has been shared through our act with monitors throughout the country. The City of Cape Town obviously questions that, and for whatever reasons, and they've got the right to question that. They've got the right to go to court and question that. But the morality here is that if you've done nothing wrong in that camp, if you are transparent, you will actually welcome criticism. You'll actually welcome recommendations. You will actually welcome monitoring so that you know that you're being held accountable in terms of what you're doing.
Just, Reverend, just noting from the city's media statements over the last weekend, they somewhat feel that the independent monitors have been seconded by the Human Rights Commission somewhat has it in for the City of Cape Town, somewhat has a axe to grind with the City of Cape Town, and therefore have been making some serious findings against that particular temporary homeless site in Strandfontein. In terms of the people that you appoint to the Section 11 body, do they have to be impartial? Do they have to be apolitical? So how do you ensure that there is no conflict there?
They have to be impartial. They have to be apolitical. And I know the city has set the political game and all this. I am totally, and I believe, I've been supporting the city and saying we need a place where we can take people off the street, that displace people, make sure that they are taken care of and not spreading the virus. But if the city just dump people back into the street, that if you complain about that, are you impartial? Are you now playing a political game? No, you are pointing out to them. And so while identifying those individuals as they've done in the court papers, we must respect the integrity of the Doctors Without Borders. they have done an independent assessment, and they've given that assessment to us. We have maintained, we retain the right to scrutinize that report, and there are some parts of what we said we don't agree with. But the fact of the matter is the city is now wanting to hide behind the fact that these people are not impartial, these people are playing political games. Let the court then decide. That's why they went to court. I am saying is that if you've got nothing to hide, then you must please open up and be transparent. I've taken, for example, the chief whips of all parties within the city to go and have oversight. The city has blatantly refused them. So it's not only for these other monitors. The city has also refused me. The mayor said, you will not go there without my permission. And I said to him, no way. The Human Rights Commission and Commission doesn't need your permission because the Act clearly gives us. But thus far, I've tried to hold the balance because I am saying that you can't, when things go wrong, try and find a scapegoat. You say, tell me what's it, how do I fix it, and how do we move forward? And that is what the monitors have been saying. The monitors have been called by the residents there and say, this is happening, that's been happening, we've not been screened properly. Then call this monitor, sit around the table and say, listen here, these are the complaints you receive, this is how we're handling it. In fact, on Saturday past, I met the committee of the residents, and I asked them about the screening. They said they were being asked questions, only questions, 5 questions. I said, but did they take your temperature? Some of them said yes, others said no. I asked the persons, they said, what kind of temperature method are you using? Some said they're using the one under the arm, and the other one said, I said, where is the remote infrared one? No, and the one health person said, it's not here, and the other one said, no, it arrived yesterday. So those are the kind of things. If you just be open and say, this is what's happening here, and I agree, it can't be a 5-star. I agree they had little time to put it together. But for Pete's sake, just make sure that we handle people there with the necessary respect and respect the dignity and the humanity and human rights of those people there. I mean, for 2 weeks, people have been battling to get, at the beginning, to get, mattresses to sleep on. I've raised this issue about sanitary towels, for example, for women. When women confront me and say to me, but we don't have sanitary towels in 2.5 weeks here already. I've raised this with the mayor. So when you raise these things, you don't raise it out of any malicious or anything. It's to say, how do we improve the lives of people while they are there in under the responsibility of the city? So as far as I'm concerned, you know, we should not panic about it. We welcome criticism, and this criticism will help us to improve what's happening here. Because after all, homeless people are people with rights and people with dignity, and we cannot approach them just as simply other people, as some have been saying, they're druggies and leaders. No, they have got their problems, and they are not there in a detention because they committed a criminal act. They are there for the safety of themselves and for the safety of the community, and the health of themselves.
Reverend, the city then also announced last week that they are now starting the phase closing of the camp. It seemed very odd, and they said it was there for the first part of the lockdown, and they were adhering to the conditions that were set about by the president. Your thoughts now, after 2 weeks of it being open, or not 2 weeks, it was probably three, four weeks of it being open, now starting to close it. Your thoughts on that?
It's irresponsible. It's really irresponsible. Because, A, they were saying, and that's why I've said, A, I've never called it, and I will never call it a concentration camp. I understand the city's attempts, and I make no apology for that. I said, yes, there was lack of consultation. They should have consulted the Strandfontein community. There are other mistakes they've made. But we needed to save people's lives and keep them safe and off the street. So you can't take people back to the street. Last Saturday, I've heard from the residents there that say people were picked up and they were dumped on the street. I went to follow where people were being left. They were taken back to where they came from or the nearest police station. For example, in Muizenberg. In Muizenberg, when I met those who were taken from the city, from the camp, I asked them what happened. They said, no, we were told we can go. And we were brought in by Greyhound buses and were dumped with remand trucker. I went to Muizenberg, I went to Mowbray, I went to Woodstock to go and see for myself that these people and listen to their stories. The city still has the responsibility to make sure that those people are there until lockdown is over. We have asked the city, what is your exit strategy? In fact, we said, you know what, we're so happy that at least you have the opportunity here now to take people, go through their medical history, go through their social history, help them to integrate within society. I mean, a lot of people, when I visit their hostel, they know me, some of them, all over, and I also went to look for their families and tell their families they are there. Please make arrangement that you can say whether you want to take them back or not. There are some people that say, well, they don't want those people back. There are such a many issues. But at least you have an opportunity now to bring in a sustainable development or program for them. I've also hoped that the people that have substance abuse, people that are there, that they will say, give us opportunity now for the next 3 months just for us to go through a program because we don't like what we're doing and want to get out a different person on their side. There must be an exit strategy. Cannot just be to dump the people where they come from during the time of lockdown. They were taken there because and the ratepayers and taxpayers' money was spent and continue to be spent to help these displaced people, to protect them and bring them into a healthy environment. Not 100%, not perfect, but at least they're protected from the virus.
Reverend, what is now the plan? Because the city would argue that the criticism has been so vociferous against the city for this camp that it would be tantamount to people demanding it be closed. Now it seems as if people say, but it must stay open. What you're going to do? So there seems to be a lot of confusion, and the city could rightfully argue, we've listened to the complaints of many people. We are now phasing out this temporary camp. Now people are complaining. Your response to that?
Well, the regulations is very clear that the state, in this case the city, has the obligation to remove people from the street for their own protection and for health reasons into a place, in this case a shelter or what we call administrative detention area, where people have been brought in under the regulations of the National Disaster Act. To say now, 4 months later, to say, wow, people have been saying, and remember, this report was brought out on the 14th of April, and now you say, oh, because people have been clamoring for us to close it down, let's close it down, let's decommission it. Why not listen to the complaints and say, how can we improve? In fact, the residents, there's a committee there of people inside the safer place, COVID-19 safer place, to say that they don't want the place to be closed. Of course, amongst all of those people there, you know, living 20 years, 30 years on the street, some people will say, oh, I don't like it here. Others say, well, thank you that I'm here. So you'll get a mixed response. And so also from the broader society, if we just look at the humanity, the dignity issues, and make sure that people are treated with dignity and respect, then and make sure that people are being attended to. The other day there was the issue about the SASSA grants. You see, people in the day, they were saying if the clinic is closed at 4, if something happens to them, they have to wait for an ambulance to take them from there to a day hospital or hospital. Once they finish, they get called to, and I must say some of the staff, they are excellent, because when they call to go and fetch people from the day hospital, they go and fetch them from the day hospital. But you see, but also people, they have been complaining about a number of issues. Mm. I mean, I taste the food from the very beginning to say, and I said, you know, I want to taste the pub. I tasted, I didn't make a big song and dance of it. Some people are saying to me, you know, never had anywhere to scuttle, but at least you get some food here today. But the fact of the matter is, when you are in charge of people, you know you're dealing with, and when you do get criticism, if those criticism is valid, take action of it. If it's not valid, sit down with the person and say, you said I did that, but this is what I did. What more do you want me to do? How do you want me to improve on A, B, C, and D? You don't just go and then say, because you criticized me, now I'm going to close it. It's still locked down. Mm. And it's illegal for the city just to go and dump people unless they take them to another shelter. In fact, through dumping them on the street, like I've seen, And if any one of those officials want to come with me, I'll go with them to show them where they've been dumped.
Reverend Chris Nissen there, speaking for the South African Human Rights Commission. Thank you very much.